second reading this morning is from Psalm 42. Let us listen together for God's word. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The 23rd Psalm. Among all the Psalms, it's probably one of the most familiar, if not the most familiar. Perhaps you know it best in the old King James Version. When I was a kid, I would often go to church early with my dad, and on the way we would say together the Lord's Prayer, followed by the 23rd Psalm. One would flow right into the other. If you don't know, my father is a pastor, which explains why we would do that on the way to church. So these words were ingrained in me at a very early age, though because the language was so strange, we would say it in the King James, there were parts that I didn't quite understand. For instance, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why is it exactly that I shall not want the Lord to be my shepherd? That was one bit of confusion. Why would someone yell yay before walking through the valley of the shadow of death? And the Lord prepared, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my anemones. That was how I understood it. Not mine enemies. Although I didn't understand it fully as a child, I found myself later on in life almost reflexively reciting those words to myself when I needed comfort. Because those words are profoundly comforting. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some translations say, I lack nothing. Many of the Psalms are prayers to God for comfort. This is a mode of prayer that we are probably very familiar with. There are many moods and attitudes of prayer, but there are some experiences of life that are far more likely to draw us into prayer, sometimes stumbling, kicking, and screaming, but when we need comfort, that is one of those times that we are most likely, perhaps even by accident, to find ourselves crying out to God, asking for comfort. But comfort can be a complicated idea. You've probably heard the saying in one form or another that God comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. So let's get clear on precisely what we mean by comfort. What is it that we are seeking when we turn to God with this request? What are we asking God to give us when we ask for comfort? Obviously, comfort is not what we need when our tea time is rained out on a Saturday morning or our basketball team loses by just 1 point, freeing us all up to root for Florida this afternoon, I might add. Comfort is not what we need when we have a bad day because we leave our phone at home and we have to do all day without it. In these cases, we don't need comfort, we need perspective. Because these are not real problems. if our problem pertains to things, or if it can be fixed by things, then we're probably talking about being made comfortable and not being in need of God's comfort. We're talking about our desire for our life to go smoothly, without problems or stress. This is a fine wish, but it is not something that God offers or promises. When we think about what comfort is, it's helpful to look at the words of Jesus. Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls." But then Jesus also says, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. Those who find their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it." But on the other hand, Jesus says in one of his more zen moments, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Relax, man," Jesus says, "do not worry." But Jesus also says, when talking with his disciples about what is to come after him, he says, "As for yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name." Two things we learn about comfort from Jesus. One is that the Christian life will not be comfortable. Perhaps we might even be so bold as to say the Christian life should not be comfortable, that if it is comfortable, we might be doing something wrong. That's one. And two is that God will give comfort. God will give comfort. I recently had an experience with physical discomfort. Most of you probably know that at the beginning of the year, I had surgery to repair a torn tendon in my ankle, which is why I have my snazzy sneakers on this morning. But I had to sit for a long time. I couldn't put weight on my foot. I was stuck in a chair in my basement, but that wasn't really the problem. About 10 days into my recovery, I woke up at 4 o'clock or so in the morning, and my arm was hurting from about my shoulder to my elbow. I wrote it off. I was off of all the pain meds at this point, so I started taking some Advil again to try to ease the pain. And the next night, I woke up at about 2 o'clock, and I slept fitfully till about 4, and finally got out of bed. And the following night, I couldn't sleep past 2 o'clock, and I was awake from about 2 to 5. Thank God for Netflix and Planet Earth, the BBC series. It's wonderful if you need to fall asleep, if you have a hard time. The pain got to be so severe that I could not escape this shoulder pain from my shoulder down to my elbow. And I sat in that chair, and it's probably not an overstatement to say that I writhed. I could not get myself comfortable. I wanted to crawl out of my own skin. And so through this experience, I learned some things about discomfort. And I think these things that I learned about my physical pain and discomfort are a good analogy for our own spiritual pain and discomfort. First, my pain was persistent. I was never free of it. It ebbed and it flowed, but it was always there. I could never forget that I had that pain. Second, it was debilitating. It prevented me from going about my daily life, even more so than I was already prevented by the fact that I couldn't walk. I couldn't lift my right arm to take a bite of food or to take a drink, never mind lifting up my children onto my lap. It was debilitating, the discomfort was. And finally, it was discouraging. I became a real crank around the house, just ask my wife. My outlook changed. My mood changed for the worse in a big way because I couldn't shake this discomfort. The discomfort of our souls, pain of our hearts, operates in much the same way. When we experience that sort of pain, it is persistent. We face daily reminders of our grief and our sorrow, perhaps even hourly reminders. And however hard we try to let it go, it seems to never let us go. The psalmist says, "My tears have been my food day and night," while people say continually, "Where is your God?" reminding me of my pain. The pain of our hearts is also debilitating. We find that we lack the will or the energy to engage the world around us. Our relationships falter. Our motivation suffers. We're unable to do the work that God has called us to do, the work that fulfills us and gives us life. The psalmist says, "As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me continually, 'Where is your God?'" Finally, our pain is discouraging. We are weighed down in body, mind, and soul. We lose sight of life's possibilities. We lose sight of God. We lose sight even of ourselves. The psalmist says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" So there I was in my chair, squirming, trying to get to a comfortable place, trying to find any position that will alleviate this pain in my arm. And I finally found one. If I sat upright but had my head tilted all the way to the side, so hard that I was actually stretching out my neck, suddenly I found relief. And I froze. And I could take a deep breath. And I could actually talk with my wife, with my children, as long as they weren't standing over here. I found relief. And so I slept that way all that night in that chair, sitting upright with my head like this. So I woke up in the morning, I was feeling pain in my shoulder. And so I went looking for that magic position again. And when I did this, I found tremendous pain in my neck. My own fix, my own remedy for my discomfort, ended up with my neck knotted and twisted. I found myself in greater pain than before. So eventually I went and saw a doctor who gave me a shot, and it's better, but it's not perfect. Pain is still there. But our spiritual discomfort is similar. There are many ways that we try to fix pain that we live with. There are many remedies that we may try in order to address the pain in our lives. But they usually leave our souls knotted and twisted. We find ourselves in more pain than when we started. With my physical pain, I needed to search for a remedy outside myself. I needed to go to the doctor. And when it comes to the pain of our hearts, the pain of our souls, we go to the shepherd. This, according to the psalmist, is the cry for comfort. "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God?" And this is the answer. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." But we know this psalm well. We know that the psalm does not end with still waters and green pastures. Just yesterday, the New York Times published a column by a conservative columnist, Peter Wehner, entitled, "After Great Pain, Where is God?" And Wehner writes this: "For those of the Christian faith, God is a God of wounds. Where the road to redemption passes directly through suffering, there is some solace, knowing that while at times life is not easy for us, it was also hard for the God of the New Testament. And from suffering, compassion can emerge, meaning to suffer with another. That disposition in turn often leads to acts of mercy. I have seen enough of life to know that grief will leave its mark. But I have also seen enough of life to know that so too will love. The word comfort comes to English through Latin. And in Latin, it's a combination of a prefix and the word for strength. And so the literal meaning of the word comfort is to give strength, to make strong, to strengthen. This is what it means to receive comfort from God. It is not to be made comfortable. It is not to smooth out the rough patches or the difficulties of our lives, but it is to be given strength from God. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They give me strength. The comfort of God puts us back on our feet to walk the paths of righteousness, to walk the paths of this world without fear, to allow God's love to make its mark on us. And to allow God's love through us to make its mark on the world. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen.